Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now on 96.9 WYIR, the music bomb. Iceman Insights, and joining us in studio, the star, and pretty much the guy that puts it all together, Iceman Insights, Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm ready and raring to go. We did an hour and 45 minutes on Saturday night, and I'm ready to go with another hour plus here today.
I'm exhausted from Saturday night, and I'm hoping this lasts about 15 minutes.
Well, I thought, as far as you're concerned, anything that takes more than a minute and a half isn't worth doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My thoughts exactly.
All right. Well, then, we'll try to make this quick. Ha, ha, ha. let's see. We'll get going on our recap, then. Is that
yep.
all right with
we
you?
Might as well go
we'll
right there.
Speed this deal along.
So, another winless recap.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah, stop me if you heard this. This is not a repeat, ladies and germs. This is actually a new episode. 0-3 since our last show. The Icemen are now 23-40-6. With three games left, the Icemen are 3 points ahead of Bakersfield in the fight to stay out of last place overall in the league. Bakersfield only has 2 games left against Las Vegas and San Francisco, though. So even if the Icemen lose out, Bakersfield still has to at least get 3 out of a possible 4 points in order to tie us for last place. So hopefully we'll just remain last in the East and not last overall because, well, you know.
We have some pride.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Going back to last Wednesday, the Icemen lost 3-0 at Toledo. James Reed made 40 saves on 42 shots. The third goal was an empty netter. In that game, Phil Plant left with a recurrence of his back spasms. He did not play Friday and Saturday, so we'll see if he plays again this season. He may not. The good thing is, I guess, is while the Icemen were losing 3-0, meanwhile in Fort Wayne, the Comets lost to Reading 8-2.
Thanks for Don Breck for keeping us posted
yes.
on that in the Maniac Asylum
and
so we could laugh at them.
The crazy thing is 8-2, and it wasn't even that close. It was 6-0 after the first period and 8-0 after two. Just terrible. One of the worst losses the Comets have ever had at home.
Suck.
Yes. And the Comets' loss coupled with Toledo
Suck.
Beating yes, beating the Icemen meant that the Comets were
Suck.
Officially eliminated from playoff contention. It breaks a streak of 10 straight seasons with the Comets.
Oh, suck.
Yes. In the playoffs. So
it wasn't that other added comments wasn't written down in the
oh, yeah.
The sheet
so you
there, so.
Weren't expecting it.
I just go off the sheet.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving on. On Friday, the Icemen came back home, lost 3-1 to Reading. Reed had 21 saves on 24 shots. Daniel Tatro had the only
goal.
And
a couple
goal.
Of sick saves, too. It could
yes,
have been a lot worse.
He did, yeah. He played really well. There were, you see 21 saves on 24 shots. You might not think the goalie played that well, but Reading had some very high-quality scoring chances, and it could have been a lot worse than 3-1. Really, the Icemen didn't play that bad either. Just Reading's really good.
They were nifty. They were a fast-moving club. They moved the puck well. Their goaltender was 6'25" and very athletic.
6'25"?
That's yes. That's a right. That's the right number, isn't it? That's a proper number, Ivy. 6'25". Yep.
Yes.
There it is.
It has been confirmed by Ivy. Daniel Tatro had the only goal for the Icemen. I thought the funny thing in that game was the second goal that Reading had was Tommy Mason's worst nightmare. It was Stanislav Galiev, who's Russian, assist to Russian Nikita Kashirsky and Quebec native Yannick Tifu. That's might be the greatest line of a goal in a while that
There's
I've seen.
There's a lot of V's and Y's.
There are,
that
yes.
Combination.
That would be very difficult to read if you were liquored up.
You're saying Tommy Mason was liquored up?
I'm saying he wasn't liquored up.
Oh, I know. It's still difficult.
He handled it like a champ.
Yes, he did.
But if he was liquored up, he could have gotten a ride home in Dave's taxi.
There you go.
With Phil Plant still out. Jason Dale took over as the second alternate captain alongside Obermeyer in that game. And, of course, the story of that game was the fan fight late in the third period when Danick Paquette was in the penalty box and got into an argument and got physical with an Iceman fan who was next to the penalty box. Paquette earned himself a 10-minute misconduct and was gone for the rest of the game. The fan was also ejected, but he got a standing ovation on his way out. Security, on the other hand, got booed for escorting him out. And the best part of the whole thing was that after that, then the attendance was announced as 6,575 minus one. Thought that was hilarious. Very quick thinking by the Ford Center staff.
They are awesome. Quick word, I saw Tommy Mason after the game, and he had some pretty good insight into that whole situation because he's been there and seen all the penalties, the players come to the penalty box, mm-hmm. and all the fans screaming and everything else. And he said usually he looks over and the penalized player is just in robot mode.
Yeah.
They just sit down,
block
eyes forward, and the only thing they do is look up to see how much time is left. And when that guy started chirping and he saw Paquette's head swing over and look, he said, "Oh man, you've already lost it."
Yeah, and you have to turn it off and block it all out because you're going to get heckled like that pretty much anywhere.
Yep.
But especially late in a game, if fans have had a little bit of alcohol fuel, things especially can get interesting. And you, as a player, you have to just ignore it, no matter how much you may want to react.
I thought the powder keg was Obermeyer was flying around out there. He was trying to get under people's skins. He was playing a very awesome, antagonizing type of game. And when they went to the box, Paquette said, I was up in the upper deck, and I still saw him say, "I'll see you in 2 minutes." So the plan was they were going to come out because they started to get a little like pushing and shoving like they were about ready to go, but it was too late, and the linesman had already stepped in. And so, Paquette said, "I'll see you in two." And then that fan comes up, and Paquette was ready to go.
Yeah,
and he just was going to unload on somebody.
Added fuel to the fire, I will say this. While it was... it was an entertaining, memorable moment. There's still a line that should not be crossed. Obviously, the player crossed the line in interacting with the fan, but the fan has to know when to step away, too.
Well, the fan threw the first punch through the glass.
Yes, exactly.
As well.
The fan has to settle down. And on top of that, even worse, whoever the fan was that threw the bottle out onto the ice at Paquette as he was being escorted out, and whoever dropped popcorn on him over the locker room entrance, unacceptable. They should have been tossed out of the building, too. And the Ford Center dropped the ball by not getting rid of those people, too. Because there is no excuse for throwing or dropping things on the players. I don't care what happened to lead up to it. You do not do that. And that's a quick way for a very good fan base to get a very bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So people knock it off.
And we need free agents.
Yes. Yeah, so that kind of stuff cannot happen again. So far, the league has not given any supplemental discipline to Paquette. And my thinking is, it's probably because it was just a 10-minute misconduct, because that doesn't generate an automatic review by the league. There's no automatic paperwork for a 10-minute misconduct. So unless the Icemen actually requested a review by the league may not even understand fully what happened.
Yep.
So I would imagine that if the league looked at it, they would probably suspend him because, interacting with fans in a physical manner is frowned upon. But as of right now, nothing else has happened, and I think that's probably why that the league may just not even understand the full story of what happened. So I'm sure if they saw the video, they would probably do something, but as of now, maybe they haven't. So perhaps that's the last we hear of it, but one way or the other, I think the next time Paquette comes back to Evansville, he's going to be greeted warmly.
Definitely.
Perhaps with a warm beverage being tossed on him by someone. That was pretty much the story for Friday. Then on Saturday, the home finale, the Icemen lost 5-2 to Kalamazoo. Attendance was 8,715. Reed was in net again, made 29 saves on 34 shots. The goals for the Icemen were by Tatro and Austin Medeski.
At this point, if we score a goal, just assume that Tatro had something.
Yeah, no kidding. Tatro and Medeski had the goals. That was the third game in a row with no goals by forwards. So that says something about where this team is going in the last few games. Really, though, the Icemen, I don't think they played bad. They put up a season-high 48 shots on goal, but Joel Martin in net for Kalamazoo was very good. And at the on the flip side, Kalamazoo's scoring chances were high-quality scoring chances, two-on-ones, give-and-goes, things like that. So,
yeah, Reeder was hung out to dry there a couple of times, nothing he could do.
There was one goal where he wasn't hugging the post the way he should have been.
Yeah, that one was bizarre.
Yeah,
in the third period, the third goal of the game.
But otherwise,
Did it bank off his skate or his pad?
I don't know what it went off of. But in general, though, I think he played pretty well both games. It was just, you know, you give up eight goals and people might think that the goalie didn't play good in a two-game stretch. But I thought he played pretty well. There, you know, maybe a soft one here or there. But for the most part, he played well and made saves that he perhaps didn't have any right to make that kept the games closer than they ended up being. So kudos to him. The interesting takeaway for me for the finale was up in the press box was a man by the name of Dave Babich.
Vancouver.
And for people that don't know who Dave Babich is, he played 19 seasons in the NHL, had over 1,300 games, over 700 points, which is incredible for a defenseman. He was a two-time All-Star. He had 10 consecutive 40-point seasons in the NHL. So this is a guy that was a legit NHL star. He was actually the first player in the NHL that ever wore jersey number 44, which is now very common. And he, perhaps more than anything, was known for having one of the greatest mustaches in the history of hockey. He had a mustache that even puts Terry Ficarelli's to shame.
Yeah.
Which
is, it wasn't no Lanny McDonald.
But no, but it was up there. It was really solid. But anyway, he retired in 99 and is now the assistant director of player personnel, which is basically a scout for your own players. For the Canucks, which is Kalamazoo's NHL affiliate. So that's why he was there. I actually didn't recognize him at first because he no longer has just the mustache. He actually has a goatee. So it threw me off. But once he introduced himself, I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't get to talk to him a whole lot. Steve Ford from the Courier was there, and he was talking his ear off about all sorts of things, mostly not hockey. But I did find it pretty cool, I guess a feather in my own cap. I think it was in the third period of the game. There was a skirmish, and Derek Brattain, the music guy, played the Please, Mr. Linesman, Let the Players Fight, which is something that I first played at Swander. And Babich lost his marbles laughing at it. And he said, this is a guy that played 19 years in the NHL and has been a scout since and travels all over the place seeing games. He said he's never heard that. So I thought that was pretty impressive. I uncovered and popularized something that he's never even heard. But really nice guy up there. That was pretty cool. That's the second time this year we've had a longtime NHL veteran up in the press box scouting.
Tim Taylor.
Tim Taylor, yeah. Yep. Not from Tool Time.
No.
The other Tim Taylor.
Stanley Cup champion.
Exactly. So that was pretty cool. That was all I had for Saturday. Just, again, another really good crowd. It's unfortunate that the team lost, but I think
there's nothing left.
No,
there's nothing left. Of
literally,
this team
yes, it's just
play, so
ridiculous. So we move on.
Yes, we move on. And part of the reason why there's no one left is because the Shockinator 8000 has been calculating man games lost to injury, and it looks like we finally hit that magic number we've been shooting for since week one.
Yeah.
So 69 games into the season, how many man games lost to injury?
406.
But not anymore from Austin Madaisy.
No, he is back.
It was awesome to see him back when he started last Wednesday night.
Yes, it was. We got him back, and then we lost Plant to injury, so swap out defenseman. But yeah, 406 man games, six are currently hurt. One of the hurt is Anton Blomqvist, and last Wednesday he was shifted from reserve to IR, which officially ends his season. He's already out of town, and he actually tweeted that he wanted to thank the Iceman staff and fans for their support, so cool move by him. And then also, yes, last Wednesday, Austin Madaisy was activated from IR after missing a bunch of games. He was in the lineup at Toledo. And as mentioned last week, we talked about him for the first time in a while last week, that he had already been practicing with the Springfield Falcons. Yep. And basically, he was activated to play a few games, get his legs back here, and then be called up.
And he's a difference maker. He looks so good back there.
Yeah, he's really smooth.
We'll never see him again.
Probably not, no. And he has a cannon of a shot, too. Yeah. Then on Thursday and Friday, there were no Iceman transactions. And Saturday, there were officially no transactions. But then after the game, while we were broadcasting Amusement Park After Dark,
90210,
the news broke that both Madaisy and Tatro were called up. Medeski was called up to Springfield, and the news broke because...
Which we expected.
Yes. The news broke because he posted on Twitter after the game that he was happy to have his game legs back and on his way back to Springfield. So that was not surprising. The bigger surprise was Tatro being called up by Peoria. Because after the Rivermen played Saturday night, David Minion, the beat writer for the Peoria Journal-Star, tweeted... All this news breaking by Twitter.
Yep, that's why I'm on it.
He tweeted that the Rivermen lost another defenseman to injury in Saturday's game, and as a result, they had a game on Sunday, so they needed help. So they called Tatro up as an emergency fill-in. Now, it was originally expected that he would just be there for their game on Sunday, and then he would return to us on Monday, but that did not happen. The Icemen, apparently, as of when we record this, are already on their way to Kalamazoo, and Tatro has not been returned, and there's no telling when he will be, if he will be. So,
by recorded, you mean it's live today on Wednesday?
It's live when we, yes. yeah, sure, we'll go with that. So we'll see if or when he comes back, but if he doesn't, good for him. It's he's played well, he's been hot, and he deserves a look at the next level. Not that I necessarily expect him to stay there long-term next season, but it's cool that he's getting a chance.
Yep.
And with that chance, he gets a nice little pay raise, too, because I looked it up, and according to the CBA that the ECHL and AHL have with the Professional Hockey Players Association, any ECHL-contracted player who is on loan to an AHL team, which is technically what happened, earns an annual salary of $32,500. If you prorate that over the course of a season, that equates to $1,250 a week, which... We don't know exactly what players are making for the Icemen, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say he wasn't making that much.
Nope.
He was probably making decent money because he's one of the veterans, but I would imagine he was probably in that $800 to $1,000 a week range. So he got a bit of a raise being called up, and as long as he's up there, that's what he'll be paid is $1,250 a week. The question about Tatro was people were wondering, how can he get called up? He's not actually their property. Well, people need to understand that AHL teams can immediately call up their own property, but that doesn't mean that non-AHL rostered players are off limits. Mm-hmm. Basically, any player that is under contract to an ECHL team that is not under contract to anyone in the AHL, as far as an AHL team is concerned, they're a free agent. So they can call up anyone they want if the player is willing and able and says, sure, I'll come. And we've seen that before. Peoria's actually already had a couple guys that they've called up from the Cincinnati Cyclones because our cupboard was empty.
Yeah.
So they were calling guys up from Cincinnati instead. And that's the same case with Tatro. And it's not just Peoria that could do it. You know, if another AHL team, if the Milwaukee Admirals had two injuries on defense and they need a defenseman in a heartbeat, they could call Tatro too, and the same thing could happen. So that's just how it is. They will generally take their own affiliated players first. But if they need help beyond that, then pretty much anyone in the ECHL that's not under AHL contract is fair game.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
And they have to ask. They can't take.
Right.
They have to ask.
And the player can say no.
Yep. But on the flip side, and the team can say no.
Right.
But on the flip side, when the summer comes around and you're looking for free agents and they say, hey, you know, I'd still like a shot at the AHL. I'd like to make it up there. If you've got a track record of denying teams opportunities to loan players out, that's going to get around quickly as well.
Exactly. Yeah, you can close the door, but it might not ever open again. Yeah. So it behooves you to say yes, and even if you don't think anything's going to happen long term, at least you get up there and you get a taste of it and perhaps put yourself on a few people's radar. So we'll see. I think if Tatro is playing next year, I don't think it will be in the AHL, but
no.
Still, it's cool for him that at this point in his career, he's getting a chance up there because he's played well lately, and he deserves it. So good for him. On Sunday, the Tatro move was officially processed and announced, and then the Medeski recall was officially added to the transactions page on Monday. Also on Monday, the Icemen brought in a couple of more college kids, college and junior kids. A winger named Peter Sakaris, who just finished a four-year junior career. He played a year and a half in the USHL, which is Tier 1 American junior hockey. He had 32 points in 77 games, and then he played 2.5 years in the Quebec Major Junior League.
Nice.
And he had 137 points in 159 games, so that's pretty solid stats. So this kid's got some talent, but I don't know how well he'll adapt to the professional game in all of three games that are remaining this season, but... just like the other guys that Crum has brought in the last few weeks, that's more a case of get a guy in here and see what he has. And if you like what you see out of him in the short term, you tell him, all right, work your butt off this summer, keep yourself in shape, come back for training camp, and we'll see what we got for you. So we'll see what Sakaris brings to the table. The other guy was a winger named Chris Forfar. He just finished a four-year career at Michigan State. Did not have all that much in the way of stats. He played 156 games over 4 years, had 39 points and 120 penalty minutes. So his stats don't jump off the page, but you never know. There's been other guys we've seen whose stats don't jump off the page, but then when you see them with your own eyeballs, Dylan you really Clark. Like them. Yeah, very true.
And U.S. college is a lot different because they have about a 35-game season. So you're not playing 70 games, so you can't get on a roll.
Right.
And they're in school and everything else.
And
so
a lot of times, too, the NCAA D1 college hockey is very defensive-oriented, too. So there's just not as much scoring a lot of times either at the highest levels because they're a lot of 2-1 and 3-2 kind of games. There's not a whole lot in the way of 6-5 games like you occasionally see in the pros and in juniors.
But with 120 minutes and 156 games, sounds like he's going to be a little bit of a grinder for sure.
Maybe a Vogelhuber type. Won't score a whole lot, but he'll chip in and play a little physical. We'll see.
Next segment, our best segment.
Wait just a cotton pick.
Oh, sorry. Is this when we do this?
Yes.
You need to highlight that.
Reading is fun.
Yes.
Hooked on Phonics did not work for Benini.
Where do you go if you need all this up-to-date information, even through the last three games of the season? You go into the Courier Press? They probably won't even write another article about us. You go into the Iceman website? No. I think didn't they get a virus or something like that and lost some information? Who knows?
Who knows?
But if you need to know what's going on with this team, who's left, pronunciations, who's the captain, who's the alternate captain, et cetera, you go to IcemanManiacs.com 24/7, anytime, day or night. You can go to the Maniacs message board. It's highlighted in red, like this plug needs to be, so that I can remember to read it with arrows and a sticky note. But anyways, in red graphics with the handicap chair will be all your information about the team and roster and affiliations, etc. So, and now, as before I was so rudely interrupted, our best segment, which is a segment of 3 minutes where you don't have to listen to Mike or I talk. Shockers, hockey, rock song of the week.
Speaking of that, I need to mention that every week after I edit the show and I listen to it back to jot down notes for the summary for IcemanManiacs.com, my son Evan listens to the show too, and his favorite part of the show every week is the song of the week. So even my own son prefers it when I stop talking. Actually, he just loves music. He'll anything that has a beat, he'll bob his head up and down to. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah,
that's what
I was going to say. You keep telling yourself
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Also wanted to mention, I didn't actually say last week, but when I played Real American, which was Hulk Hogan's wrestling theme in the WWF last week, that actually was a song I played at Swander. I wasn't just playing it because I like wrestling. I used to play that on the military nights. So, I try to tie these in to where the songs that I use for the song of the week are always something I used to play at Swander or would play now if I was still doing the music. So, that wasn't just a random
if. Oh, if the good old days.
Only if. So this song, moving forward, is a song I used at Swander as a clap prompt, getting the fans to clap along. And apparently now it's the unofficial theme for Iceman backup goaltender Kevin Moore. This is a song I'm...
Dude, he's got the nicest pads in the whole entire league.
Yeah, they've never been used. this is because baseball season officially starts this Sunday night, March 31st, as
the
we
Otters?
Have snow on the ground right now. No, not the Otters.
Oh,
they don't start till like Memorial Day.
That's the only baseball I know.
Sometimes that doesn't even really look much like baseball. So
it's cheap, and you can go in there for a dollar hot dog, and they've got a little amusement park that Ivy likes to play in.
That's true, yes. So, this Sunday, Major League Baseball starts, and as a result, I think it's fitting to play Kevin Moore's unofficial theme song. This is Center Field by John Fogerty.
Thank you.
And we're back here on Iceman Insights 96.9 WYIR Music Bomb. And we are going to recap the greatest post-game season wrap-up show in the history of American hockey.
Yes, this past Saturday after the home finale, we did our first ever amusement park after dark.
90210.
Yes, Stephen Ricker joined us. We went on at about 10:45 and didn't wrap it up until about 12:30. As Derek's wife said, it was, quote, long but fun, which is a phrase she never gets to say being married to you.
Indeed. On both accounts.
Yeah. wanted to mention, by popular demand, the entire show, minus the music, will be made available as a free podcast, and I will post it next Wednesday, April 3rd, when Iceman Insights is off. We're not doing shows for the next couple weeks, so next Wednesday, in lieu of Iceman Insights, I will post the Amusement Park After Dark. So anyone that didn't get a chance to stay up and listen to it, or if you did listen to it and you want to listen to it again, if you're that much of a masochist, you will be able to for free. So it'll be on IcemanManiacs.com next Wednesday. Mainly, we wrapped up the season. We look forward to next season, talked about who we would see back, who we might not see back, took some questions via Facebook. We answered a bunch of questions, but like I said, we went an hour and 45 minutes, and I don't know that we necessarily expected to go that long, but we went that long and still didn't get to everything. So I wanted to mention a couple of the things that we didn't actually get to, some of the questions that were posed. First off, Eric Titzer and a couple others, this has been a big topic of discussion, is why not put Kevin Moore in for the final few minutes of the home finale when you're down by three? My take is, we've discussed James Reed. We like James Reed a lot. We want to see him back next season. I don't necessarily see what the harm is in putting Moore in to give him a couple minutes of action at the end of a game when you know you're going to lose. But at the same time, I don't think if it doesn't happen, people don't need to be crucifying Crom about it, because there's no participation medals in professional hockey. If he wants to give the kid a chance to play a couple minutes, cool. But if he doesn't, that doesn't mean Crom's a bad guy. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with this situation. And Kevin Moore is here to be the backup. He knows that. He's not. I don't think he's here with any delusion of playing. You know, if he was going to play, we would have seen him by now. He's been here like 20 games. So I don't necessarily have a problem with not playing him, but I wouldn't have had a problem with getting him in there for a couple minutes late in the game either.
I would have had a problem with it. And
really?
Yes, because no coach ever wants to make a goalie change, because that goalie you are changing to is cold. He has been sitting on the bench for, even if you're getting blown out, you have a hard time wanting to change a goalie. A lot of times we see it at intermission because the goalie can jump on the bike for 8 minutes to get warmed up. But everything is cold, the muscles aren't stretched, and then you're going to put this guy in and he's going to have to move laterally and stress out his groin, hips, and knees to make saves when he's been sitting for 57 minutes. That just, no one wants to do it in the first place, and no one definitely wants to do it to put a kid in for a silly 3 minutes so he can play in front of the home crowd. It doesn't make any sense at all. And all you're doing is asking for another injury and being processed by the Shockinator 8000.
And the way this season's been going, that would probably happen.
Yeah.
And
or then lightning will come down, or the whole Jumbotron will fall off and fall on
right. And if he gets hurt, then that means our last three games, Chris Lamone is our backup goalie.
Yeah, exactly. And Chris Lamone backstopped Team Red this past Sunday night. And I'm trying to think to a victory. So
really?
Yes, he did.
Wow. How about that? So what you're saying is the yellow team had zero shots on goal?
No, they had a lot of shots on goal. They just won too few.
Huh.
But, you can't put a guy out there for the home crowd. It doesn't make any – why would you even ask that question?
Just so that you could shoot it down.
It doesn't make any sense to
me. And show that you're a heartless D-bag.
I am. Why?
All right, moving on. Another question Aaron Miller posted. What do you throw Tatro's way to get him to reconsider retirement?
Now, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
That's a hockey question.
And as we've seen over and over again, people keep saying that Tatro has told multiple people that he's planning on retiring after this season to go into coaching. But hopefully we can get him to reconsider. I would offer him the player assistant coach job. That way you can pay him more. I would say you're the captain, and I would pay him as much as you possibly can in order to get him to come back.
I would also throw in a box of Grippos on a weekly basis, two cases of ski, season passes for him and the family to Holiday World, and the armbands for the fall festival so you can ride all the rides nonstop.
Very nice.
Yeah, just to kind of give it more of that Evansville kind of feel to
it. Yeah.
And I don't know if we can. Have you ever been to Chicago where you have the go pass so you don't have to stop at the toll booth? Yeah. Well, we don't have any toll booths in here, but can we come up with something like that for the Lloyd so he doesn't have to stop at any of the stoplights on the Lloyd?
A Tatro lane?
Yeah. So, heck, we can call it the Tatro if he wants. Whatever it takes to get this guy back, the Tatro Expressway. So.
The Tatro Expressway.
So whatever it takes, definitely. I'm all for it.
We could have the Todd Robinson Expressway at maximum speed 35 miles an hour.
Wow, and it leads out of town.
Yeah, it's one way out
one
of town.
One way out of town. Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
All right, moving on. Another one from Aaron Miller. He said, as much as people love Mark Cody, does he come back? My take is no. He says he hopes to come back, but hoping doesn't mean it'll happen. I hope I win the lottery, but that doesn't mean that's going to happen. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. Great guy off the ice. Everybody loves him, but I think his playing, if he wants to keep playing, I don't think it's going to end up being here.
I say yes.
Really?
But I'm going to put my 27,000 shocker conditions on it.
Gotcha.
He's a guy, he knows Crom's system. Crom trusts him. He can come in. He's a guy that can come in out of the press box. Six games he can sit, and he can come in, and he's not going to hurt your team at all. And with all the injuries we saw this year, that doesn't sound like a bad thing to have lying around. The only thing I condition on is it's obvious we're going to have a new player, captain, alternate captains. We're going to have a whole new leadership group in that room, and they're going to have to be able to do things their way.
Right.
So if Mark Cody, and I don't know what he's like in the locker room, I'm assuming he's a good influence in the locker room because Crom tends to bring him everywhere. But if sometimes you've got to move out that old leadership staff so that the new leadership staff can do things their own way.
True.
And not feel like, well, this is the way Mark did it in the past, and Mark's still here, so maybe. So that would be my only condition. But other than that, I'd bring him back in a heartbeat. A guy that at any time you need him is going to give you 14 minutes of hard-nosed hockey, and he can play defense or forward. I keep an asset like that.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think the biggest hindrance for me is just his inability to stay healthy. But at the same time, if he can stay healthy, you know, if he gets to the point where at the start of the season he's okay, then maybe you figure clean slate, cool. I wouldn't have a problem with him coming back as that 10th forward slash kind of security net kind of depth player. But I certainly wouldn't slot him into a top nine, a regular line
I'm not saying that.
Kind of guy. But I wouldn't have a problem with that. So I think we're in agreement on that, actually.
Yes, we are.
Next question is from a man who is actually sitting here in our live studio audience.
Yes, welcome,
Jacob Franklin. The man with the longest name in the history of Facebook. he wanted to know what we think the goal for season tickets sold next season will be. First off, that allows me to mention our final attendance average this season was 5,415, which is up 533 or 11% from last year.
Ron Gary knew that stat exactly on Saturday night when I talked to him.
last year was...
He's got his finger on the pulse.
Yeah. Last year we averaged 4,882, so a big and wonderful growth despite being a last place team and slightly higher ticket prices in some cases. Currently we are fifth out of 23 teams in the league despite being the league's fourth smallest market. We could still drop down as far as seventh. Stockton and Gwinnett are right behind us, and they both still have one home game left this Saturday. So you figure for home finales on a Saturday, they'll probably have good crowds. So they might leapfrog back ahead of us, but worst case, we end up seventh in the league, which is phenomenal. But on the topic of the season tickets, at the season ticket holder party at Swanner a few weeks ago, I was talking to Ron Gary, and he said that this year we ended up with 2,300 full season equivalents. And if the goal this season was 2,000, that means A, they made their goal, and B, the goal is going to be higher next year. So I would guess they'll probably shoot for at least 2,500 full season equivalents. And they may even shoot for the moon and go for more than that. We'll see.
The fact that we're from up what to, I've heard, sometimes in the headquarters they'll be shooting for the moon.
They'll be shooting. They'll probably be shooting for 3,000.
Ron Gary likes to have aggressive goals.
Yeah. Well, you don't. Don't become a success in business the way he has with that. So, yeah, I would think at least 2,500, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they do set it at 3,000 and work their butts off to try to get it. The team has a great ticket sales staff, and I think if they are up. Or if they're given a goal and they are given the tools to reach that goal, they got a good shot at hitting it. So we'll see. I think 2,500 season tickets and perhaps even as high as a 6,000 per game average next year is realistic. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no kidding. And then the final thing from the Amusement Park After Dark, cleaning it all up. Melissa Peterson posted a response to our Puck Bunny voice that we started doing on the After Dark show. She said, y'all are saying the wrong name. The real stud isn't Jason Dale. It's Steven Rickard. So, because of that, I think we need to say Steven Rickard.
I just think it would be fantastic that every time he walked into the Ford Center next year with his khakis on and his Iceman jersey and his 9 icicles, when he approached the icicles, they all just went, "Oh, Steven."
Oh, boy.
I think that would be fantastic.
Wow. Hey, just as a public service, anyone who is named Steven, if you want that part of Benigni just saying, "Oh, Steven," I can cut that out and give you the audio so you can put it on an endless loop.
That would be creepy.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be. So that was all of our cleanup from Amusement Park After Dark. I guess one of the things we discussed on the show was the player awards, and we discussed it at length, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. But just to recap for those who didn't hear, the winners of the season-long awards that were announced at Saturday's game, Josh Beaulieu won MVP, which both of us predicted.
Boom.
Scoring champion, even though Todd Robinson was actually the scoring champion, and the 3 stars award, whatever that means. Dan Tatro won the best defenseman, which we both predicted.
Boom.
And the players player award, which is chosen by the players, which doesn't surprise me one bit. Jason
Dale!
He won the Mr. Hustle award, which we both predicted.
Boom.
Mark Cody won most popular, which he won last year as well. And Aaron Jens won the Community Service Award and the Rookie of the Year, which was my pick. You went with Vogelhuber, but I picked Aaron Jens. I would not have had a problem with Vogelhuber either, though.
I still think I'm right.
worth noting, though, there really weren't that many to choose from. We only had 5 rookies this year that played more than 20 games with the Icemen.
Next year, I'm giving out my own awards on my own radio show, and I'm going to be right on all of them that I pick.
There you go. So, well, you were right on 3 of the 4 that we predicted anyway.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Let's just say I'm feeling a little... I've turned to page 2, and I've looked at my record for the trivia, and I'm feeling a little insecure here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all of our awards, and... that's it. We'll move on to the next.
Did you
segment.
Mention that last line, or did I not hear that?
Yeah, there were only 5 rookies with 20 games played. Aaron Jens, Trent Vogelhuber, Cody Beach, Paul Karpowicz, who kind of got lost in the discussion, and technically Donnie Harris.
He got lost in the net.
Yeah.
And you and your technically Donnie Harris, that guy is something we need to think about for next year.
I think he's a solid depth defenseman. My technically Donnie Harris is because...
I don't like the rule
because, to me, he's played a full professional season. He's not really a raw rookie. He is a rookie according to the ECHL, but you know, he's got a season under his belt. So I would hold him to a slightly higher standard than a player who's...
How many games did he play in that season?
Last year? He played a whole season last year.
Oh, and you're still considered a rookie?
Yeah, it's because of where you play. He played in the SPHL,
and
they don't count lower leagues.
Yeah, he's definitely a rookie.
Well, he's an ECHL rookie.
Right.
Right.
That's what the award's for.
That's why I'm saying technically he's a rookie. But it's not his first pro season, so he's not a rookie. Whereas Aaron Jens and Trent Vogelhuber, this is their first pro season, so they're a little more raw. They haven't had a season of experience at any professional level.
No. Like the SPHA. Real.
The Spaha? Experience.
Yeah, the Spaha. All right. Real men of genius. Real? I thought of a new Real Men of Genius.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mr. Radio Announcer, amateur wannabe guy that thinks he knows everything about hockey. And then and everything I sing, I'll be talking about myself, and I'll be like, wait a minute.
We'd stop in the middle of it. Yeah. This isn't cool. And then you just throw down the microphone and storm off.
Yep.
I like that. This is actually going to be our last Real Men of Genius for a while. There will be more. We've got raw audio, very raw audio of a few more, and then we've got more that I've written that we just haven't recorded yet. So there will be more, but I'm going to save them for next season since I figure we won't have quite as many people listening over the summer. I don't want to burn them off with a smaller audience. So this is the last one we'll do this season, and it is in reference to anyone who's stuck around after Iceman games and watched when sponsors or groups get to go out on the ice. This is Mr. Postgame Shoot at the Net Guy. Iceman Insights presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Postgame Shoot at the Net Guy.
Mr. Postgame Shoot at the Net Guy.
When you get a chance to take one glorious shot at a hockey net, you inspire memories of Wayne Gretzky and Gordie Howe.
We're Hall of Famers!
You begin by loosening up and wiggling and settling in as if at the 18th hole at Augusta.
Shake your booty!
Then you reach back and deliver a swing that would make Arnold Palmer jealous, striking the puck with incredible force.
I think it went 4 inches.
So we salute you, oh wizard of the whiff, because when it comes to putting the biscuit in the basket, Gretzky got nothing on you.
Mr. Postgame Shoot at the Net Guy.
IcemanManiac.com, WIIR, Evansville, Indiana.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
Back. Iceman Insights. Shocker. Dirty D. Music Bomb. Now, I'm so confused. That was so cool. I lost. I can't read.
The Etch-a-Sketch brain.
I can't read and be cool at the same time. And cool only lasts for about 5 seconds. Iceman Trivia.
Iceman Trivia. You are now 4-10.
I love it. Just like my Iceman.
Yeah. 4-10 you got last week wrong. So we'll try to get back on
that
the...
That was cheap.
We'll try to get back on the winning streak.
Doesn't even Price is Right has like the $25 guarantee or something like that?
Well, the only guarantee with this is that you're going to be wrong more often than not.
More, yeah. True enough.
This coming Sunday, March 31st, is Gordie Howe's 85th birthday. Now, for those who don't know, Gordie Howe, in addition to being Mr. Hockey and one of the greatest players to ever play, is known for the Gordie Howe hat trick, which is the... It's an unofficial stat in hockey when you have a goal, an assist, and a fight in the same game. And it's named after Gordie Howe because he scored a lot, but he also was a rather physical player. But he, interestingly, only had 2 Gordie tricks during his career. Of course, they weren't called Gordie tricks yet.
In the Evansville Youth Hockey League, a lot of the kids call it a Gordie Howe hat trick if they get a goal, assist, and a penalty.
Really?
Yes.
Just, yeah, because you can't fight.
Minute. Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, there have only been 3 Gordie Howe hat tricks in the AA history of the Iceman. None of them this season, and all 3 have been done on the road. The most recent was Josh Beaulieu, who did it last year on January 6th of 2012 at Bloomington. He had 2 goals, an assist, and a fight. Before that was Damian Serma, the first CHL season on December 28th, 2010. He had a goal, an assist, and a fight at Dayton.
Which he'd eventually be traded to.
Yes, exactly. My question for you, before Beaulieu and Serma, who turned the first Gordie Howe hat trick in the AA history of the Iceman? I will tell you, it was not Serma, and it was early in our first CHL season.
I am going to go with, because I can only think of one person right now from that timeline, Bo Cheeseman.
Correct.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes. Bo Cheeseman had a goal and assist in a fight on November 6th, 2010 at Fort Wayne. Prior to that, we did have 4 Gordie Howe hat tricks in the 2 AHA seasons. Ryan Ford had 2 of them, yeah, including one in the first ever Iceman game on November 14th, 2008 at Swander. And then Emery Loesch, or as Stephen Lovesy. Rickard says, Lovesy. And Isaac Coy, the captain, had 1 each.
It is Lovesy.
Oh, no, it's Loesch.
Not according
to Loesch. Really?
Yeah.
See, Stephen always said Lovesy, and then he went to Rickard and told him it was Louse or Loesch or something else.
He is a weird one.
It's just,
he might have changed it.
Emery.
I went to him and asked him, and he told me it was Lovesy.
Because you were doing the radio at the time, right? Huh. Who knows? Emery. He had one.
So Isaac Coy had one, too, eh?
Isaac Coy had one, too.
Beauty.
Eh?
Eh. The Brian Patafi Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week. As we mentioned every week, you can follow Iceman Athletic Trainer and weekly Amusement Park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is BPATAFIE. B Patafi.
270 followers.
Woo!
He said the first 2 months didn't count because he didn't really know how to work Twitter. And now he's learning how to expand out into the whole wide world.
Which is why he's gone from 250 to 270.
But he said, I probably have, out of 270, 240 of them are right here in Evansville.
Probably, yeah.
So he's working on extending as he continues to search for 1,000.
Yeah, he better, he's going to need the off season to search when he's not as busy. This one is two shots at your Toronto Maple Leafs. He said, quote, Toronto Maple Leafs goalie just ran in front of our bus. He wasn't injured, though. The bus went right between his legs.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years.
Yeah, and then a few days later, he said, quote, growing a beard until the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. Already been offered a job with ZZ Top. Hashtag Leafs suck.
I make this guy a celebrity. This is how he treats me.
This is the thanks you get. But on the topic of Patafi, I did want to mention a few things from his straight shooting appearance on the amusement park last week. I know people were looking forward to it, but not all got to listen to it.
Shame on you. 2 o'clock, WYIR.com or 96.9. It's the only time you're going to hear it because we don't podcast it.
Yeah.
Because he's not our property. He's a professional.
Yeah.
Not some hack job sitting in a conference room.
Hey, don't talk about Jacob like that. Last week when he was on the show, Patafi did mention that the team is hoping to limit the number of roster spots available to affiliates next season. I think that's pretty common sense, but I hope they actually have the leverage to do it and say, yes, we'll be happy to affiliate with you, but we're going to put some limitations on the way this is going to work because we need to have our own roster in place and a core of guys to keep year-round that we can build around and hopefully keep some stability in general and especially with perhaps one goalie that is ours that can't be called up so that we
and
have
I don't think
there.
Leverage is that much of a problem. I think part of that decision has to come from Ron Gary because if we have five less affiliated guys on the club, that's $2,500 a week that's coming out of his paycheck.
That's
because,
true.
Because the AHL pays that $525 payment. So the first decision comes from internal. After that, I don't think it'll be that big of a problem.
Hopefully, I hope you're right. And I hope it happens. I think what he was saying was roughly you might set aside two forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie and say that's all you can send down.
Yep.
Otherwise, we're building our roster how we want to build our roster. So hopefully that happens. Also, he made no bones about throwing Jesse Perrin and Kevin Baker, or Kenny Baker, R2-D2, under the bus big time. And he said at least Todd Robinson was honest with the organization when he got his offer.
He threw him under the
before
bus.
Before he threw
well.
Todd under the bus, said, if Todd wants to win a championship, maybe he should have stuck around here and worked his butt off to win one next year with the Icemen. So
That was a great line.
I have no quibbles with that. Yep. So, yeah, that was the highlights of Patafi's interview last week. And any idea what's on tap this week for him?
I know what everything's on tap because he'll be here in studio in about 15 minutes.
Live, right?
Live. But being the prophet that I am, he will discuss a couple of players. He's going to discuss Daniel Tatro. He's going to discuss Matt Krug and Colin Redden. And he will also talk about off-season issues, the dealing with the injuries with the guys, with Josh Beaulieu and Matt Jens. And he will also discuss some of the behind-the-scenes headquarters kind of stuff.
Nice. How long is it?
32 minutes.
Wow.
But we'll find out shortly when he gets here.
You are quite the seer, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Hmm. Well, in that case, what are the winning lottery numbers?
13, 16, 27, 32, 42, 45.
All right, somebody out, go out there and buy a lottery
ticket.
Wouldn't
that be sick?
Yes, it would. Somebody's going to play it.
Yeah.
You know, someone listening to this will play those numbers.
I guarantee
you. And when they don't win a dime, they're going to blame you.
We've got a new perfume on the market, I see.
Yes, we do.
Rich Crom's Allure.
Allure. Yes.
Oh, Steven.
Oh, Steven. Yes, Rich Crom's Allure. I think Brad Pitt's in the ads for that.
Nice.
Chanel number 6.
Well, you know, they just got to put up... They could sell Rich Crom's Allure with those pictures from a few years ago that they put up on the Jumbotron for his birthday.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, ugh, boy. Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about... on Iceman Live this week, Adam Pleskatch and Chris Markowitz, the two new guys that came about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, straight out of college, they were the guests, and they both commented how they were here, they came here largely because of Crom being the coach, even though we're out of the playoffs. They knew they would be treated right. They like what he brings to the table. They thought that learning from him would be a good thing. And apparently, one of them even had an offer to go to Greenville, which is a playoff team, but decided to come here to play under Crom instead. So I think that just when you hear players say things like that, that speaks volumes about what Rich Crom brings to the table and why he should be back here next year and long term. Anyone that
with an assistant,
yes, ideally, yes, yes, his
and a new car.
His secretary will be Steven Rickard.
Is that guy type? He's just a voice.
That's true.
He's just the voice.
It's not the same way
he
types.
Does anything actually that is effective or...
Yeah, I don't know. It's all about the voice. Yeah, yep. His fingers aren't as good as his mouth.
We will decide whether that one gets edited out. Upcoming losses.
upcoming losses. Very nice. The final three games of the season, all on the road tonight. The 27th at Kalamazoo at 6, with or without Daniel Tatro. And then the season concludes Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th at Cincinnati. Both games are at 6:35, and the big thing there is there are a ton of Iceman fans.
How awesome
who are
that?
Going to those games.
Jake's hand raised. I guess you will be on that trip as well.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Amazing,
when I saw it posted on Facebook, I commented right there. I'll say it again. 100 people going to a foreign city to watch the Iceman play is awesome.
Yeah, Dixie told me as of Tuesday morning, the official count is 80 on Friday and 105 on Saturday. That's crazy. And by the way, we got to mention that. Kudos to Dixie Halber.
Dixie Jack.
Yes. For setting it all up.
And I didn't even say Dixie Jake with him sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm going to screw my Etch-a-Sketch brain. See, it's working.
Yeah. But yeah, kudos to Dixie for setting it all up. She contacted the Cyclones Group ticket people and got all the seats together, and she's handled all the money and coordinated all of it.
The T-shirts in.
Yeah, and it's been a lot. Wait a minute, what? yeah. So there's been a lot of logistical stuff to get it all together. So big thanks to Dixie for putting it all together. I'm sure everyone will have a lot of fun. You know, if everyone went over on their own and was kind of scattered around the building, it wouldn't be nearly as fun as with everyone sitting together, which is going to be the case. So it's going to be really cool. I'm not going, but I'm sure it's going to be really cool despite that.
No, what's going to be really cool is listening to the broadcast
and hearing
crazy woos and everything else
.
Because you hear it and it's inspiring.
Yes, it is. It's awesome. There's teams that that our 100 fans on the road make more noise than all the fans at home.
Yep.
Fort Wayne included. And I don't know if Cincinnati will be the same way, but we'll find out.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. So there you go. That's our upcoming losses preview.
I mean, if you watch the games Friday and Saturday night, the best two players on that ice were Daniel Tatro and Austin Medeski. And Austin Medeski, I've talked about it before, those are the guys that we have to find next year and make them Icemen because they're difference makers. They play better than anyone else on the ice. And they're both gone.
Yeah.
So nothing against Crom. They're going to go out there. They're going to play Iceman hockey. It's going to be tough, in your face. They're going to play awesome. And I hope we steal a game. But come on.
Yeah,
I mean, we are so stacked against at this point.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
And it's not like we're playing a scrub team either. It's the Cyclones, who are leading the division for a reason.
Yep.
I think they're second in the conference for a reason. That's a good team.
Yep.
And you're going into their barn, and yeah, you have like four players that have been with the team for more than a couple months. So it's
like taking
be...
a rubber band shooter to a gunfight at the OK yeah. Corral.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, but taking... we still have a chance to shoot someone's eye out.
It's like taking your Etch-a-Sketch brain to a
chess,
you know, brain
match
game
against
or something.
Kasparov.
Yeah. Ooh, nice reference.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm surprised I pulled that one off. Because I'm thinking Darius Kasparaitis.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm thinking Leo Komarov, who plays for the Leafs, and still I got it right. So, final thoughts.
I could probably beat Darius Kasparaitis.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. Again, we're taking the next 2 weeks off because you're not going to be here.
I am enjoying spring break.
Well.
Both weeks.
How about that?
So, spring break in Michigan and then spring break in Augusta, Georgia.
Are you going to show up in a Girls Gone Wild video or something?
No. My dad's getting double knee surgery so that he can get back out on the ice, out on the pond at 67 years of age.
Very nice.
So
that's dedication.
That is dedication.
That's cool.
Though, when we play out on the ponds up in Michigan, when I get to go and visit the family, and he'll skate for about 5 minutes, and the pain's just too unbearable. Mm-hmm. But then he puts on the skate guards, walks up on the deck, because we're playing outdoors, mm-hmm. and fires up the barbecue. So when the game's over, the 5-on-5, 8-on-8, pick up hockey, all the hot dogs and chicken wings are all grilled up, ready to go. So
nice.
Nothing better than playing hockey outdoors, having the old man grill up some vittles, and having a few... soda pops chilled in the snow, so doesn't get any better than that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that sounds like fun. So yeah, we're off the next 2 weeks. Like I said, the Amusement Park After Dark special will be up as a podcast on IcemanManiacs.com next Wednesday, the 3rd. Also, the next few weeks, whether or not there's podcasts or shows, I will be posting a few stories here and there about kind of wrapping up the season and talking about affiliations and attendance and all kinds of stuff. So keep checking IcemanManiacs.com for the next few weeks to kind of put a pin on this season. And then we will return with the Amusement Park and Iceman Insights on April 17th.
I better jot that down.
And then after that, we don't know yet. So... tune back in on April 17th, and maybe by then we'll have an idea of
we'll have an idea by then. We'll work out the summer schedule and how everything's going to work. So
yeah, you'll have that. Also wanted to mention the Jason Lee McKinney Band will be playing the Backstage Bar and Grill on Main Street this Saturday night at 9. That's the band, of course, that does Rattle That Cage, which made its Evansville radio debut here on Iceman Insights a little while back. And has become a very popular tune during the intermissions at Iceman games. And that brings me to kicking it to you, because you said last week off the air that you had a story about Jason Lee McKinney and Re-Raw that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, last St. Paddy's Day, last Sunday night, Re-Raw's doing their big St. Paddy's Day celebration, and the Jason Lee McKinney Band was in-house to play from about 6 till 9 o'clock or something like that. And I've known Jason. He was a part of the youth ministry at Youth Incorporated for years and years, and that's how I met him. But my wife actually grew up with him. They went to rock and roll shows together. They were both Kings X fans, huge Kings X fans, back in the late 80s, early 90s. So we've known Jason McKinney for a long time. And so we went out there to watch him play, and he talked a lot about Iceman hockey, and he played Rattle That Cage and everything else. He has another song. It's an awesome heartbreak kind of love song. And
I've seen it floating around Facebook.
Okay, that one's I think I'm gonna play this Friday night when I do, what's my other radio show,
Populux?
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
So I'm gonna try and get that one on Populux on Friday night. But yeah, and I'm hoping that I'll find a babysitter for the Ivy Spivey on Saturday so I can take Rebecca out, and we'll head over to Backstage. And I haven't been there yet, so I want to... You got to talk into the microphone if you're going to talk to me.
No, she's not going to. She's chickening out.
I'm hoping to be out there for that.
So if you get a night out alone with the wife, are you going to try to talk her into becoming the first redheaded icicle?
I actually brought it up to her, and was intrigued with the idea, but she didn't know if she could commit that much time.
Well, she can be a part-time icicle.
But, I mean, that's just like, if I make her an icicle, then... you know, she's going to fall in love with Steven Rickard.
No.
Oh, Steven!
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then she'll be living in the Decapentagon or whatever we call that thing.
Pentadecagon.
Pentadecagon.
Yeah. I like decapentagon too. I don't know what that's 115 sides or something.
So
I don't know.
Keep your women away from Stephen Rickard.
Yeah, he's a lady slayer.
Yep. But you can give all your children to Michael Shockley because they all adore him.
That doesn't sound. That does not sound good.
I mean, like for babysitting and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, as Ivy is climbing right in front of me.
Who do you want to babysit you on Saturday?
Yeah, who do you want to babysit you on Saturday?
Mr. Luke. All right, if you're listening, Mr. Luke, you're.
Means I'm off the hook.
You're off the hook. So, is that it? Are we done?
I think that's it. I want to thank thank Jacob, Danielle, Hockey Lovers, Franklin Brown,
Esquire the Third.
Yeah, thank him for joining us here in studio.
And it's spelled out the Third.
It's
not just three I's.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, Esquire cannot be abbreviated either.
No.
Yeah, that's very good. We're going to test the limits of Facebook's screen name lengths. How many characters can you go? So, yeah, thanks to Jacob for being here. Thanks to everyone for listening. This is our last show during the season, so it's been really cool. This is our 22nd episode, and they haven't taken us off the air yet.
Got a little rough there.
Thanks
a couple
to some
times.
Creative editing for the on-air version every now and then. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll get to keep doing it going forward into next season and beyond. I want to thank Derek for extending the opportunity to do this. It has been a lot of fun, and... hopefully everyone's enjoying it.
I still go back to that Facebook message I sent you back in August and said, would you be interested in doing a little Iceman segment on a hockey talk show? And you said, I don't know if we could have enough information to do that. Maybe 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, we were talking 15, 20 minutes.
And I was trying to talk you into it.
Yeah, and now we can't even do a single segment in 15 or 20 minutes.
Now I spend 30 minutes with Patafi afterwards ripping on you for being so long-winded.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another thing, since we are wrapping up here, big shout-out, big thanks, Youth Incorporated, Youth Ministry, here in town, 22 years, coffee shop, venue. They're the coolest Christian ministry I've ever been a part of because they focus on punk rock, they focus on the skateboarders and the tattoos. None of that stuff phases them. It's all about just having fun, learning how to be an adult, just bringing kids around and building relationships with them and helping them out. And we have helped a lot of people out. We have married people. We've been there for babies being born. We've been there for when a few of them have passed away. So, and it's their radio station that they let us just tear apart for 3 hours every week.
Yeah, and I guess in that vein, we need to apologize to the people who try to listen to this station for music during the day, and they get 3 hours of hockey nonsense in the middle of their workday. Sorry, we'll give you your hockey, and you'll like it.
But I will post on Facebook. I always post, you know, when the show's coming on, and I will link the Wired venue and the Wired Coffee House pages so you can go ahead and check them out. They've got upcoming shows coming up as well. They are 100% funded by donation. Michael Shockley's got a couple of banners up on the IcemanManiacs.com.
Yep.
So if anyone there is motivated, feels generous, you can go to WYIR.com and you can actually donate right there on the site. It's all secure. It runs through a donation processing company, so none of your information will be lost or given away. It's 100% secure.
Yes, it does not go into the Etch-a-Sketch brain.
No, I have nothing to do with it. So, but yeah, if anyone feels motivated to donate even $25, $50, $100, the ministry could always use it.
Even
so
if,
we appreciate
even
it.
If you don't, for whatever reason, if you're not that big into the ministry, just as a thank you for allowing us to do this show on the air every week with their facility and their airwaves. So, also, did want to mention, too, we need to talk about the Jambulance.
The Jambulance.
We've talked about it once before on this show, and I saw it today for the first time, and it is awesome. So is that up and running? Is that actually something
you
can do now?
Been up and running, and we have taken it to Castle High School basketball for a couple of games. It will be at Castle football this upcoming year, and hopefully if we do some more Evansville youth hockey games, we'll have it out there. It's been cold.
yeah, no kidding.
But we're hoping in the fall with Castle High School and maybe picking up some of those October games when it's nicer, especially if we have a Saturday where the Icemen are out of town, we'll do a cookout, we'll blare the radio station and everything else. So it is, yeah, it is fully functional.
That would be cool. We might have to see if we can get the Jamie Lentz out to a booster club function every now and then.
Oh, yeah, we could possibly do that. We could maybe go a little live booster club Iceman Inside action.
Ooh,
we could tear something up there.
Interesting.
So,
yeah.
And since you brought it up, I'll get some pictures up online, too, of it.
Yeah,
so.
It's really cool. When I first turned the corner and saw it, I was like, why is there an ambulance in front of Wired? And then I realized it was the Jambulance.
Yeah,
and I was
it's
like,
not an ambulance.
That
it's
is
a
awesome.
Jambulance.
I think it says on it, because your ears don't have lids or something like that. That's pretty awesome. I really enjoy it. So while we mentioned the Booster Club, too, I wanted to mention this summer the Booster Club will start taking registration and dues for next season. Nothing is up there yet, and we're going to have another meeting before the off season really gets into the doldrums. But eventually, probably in July or so, we will start taking dues and registration information for next season for the Booster Club. So over the summer, keep your eyes peeled to IcemanManiacs.com and the Iceman Maniacs Facebook page. If you haven't liked Iceman Maniacs on Facebook, do so. And then we'll let you know when we're taking stuff for next season. The Booster Club has grown incredibly this season. We had a meeting and road game viewing party a few weeks ago, and we had probably every bit of 30 or 40 people there. And while I'm at it, Jacob here, who is in studio with us, did a fantastic job of organizing it and booking the venue we had and everything.
Woo-hoo.
But yeah, we had 30 or 40 people.
Woo!
We had 30 or 40 people there, and it was crazy. You know, Dixie and I were talking at that it's amazing to think that 5 years ago in the middle of the first season at Swander, we had our first Booster Club meeting, and there was like six people. And we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how we were going to generate revenue. We didn't know who was going to run it. And to her credit, in that very first meeting, Dixie stepped up and basically said, I'll be the president. And I don't know that she entirely knew what she was getting herself into. I don't think she realized she would still be the president 5 years later. But she's done a fantastic job. Drew and Ashley have done a great job. Stephen Habler.
Stephen H.
Yes, he has done a wonderful job as the treasurer. My wife, Amanda, is the legal secretary, putting all the paperwork and stuff in. And we've got a ton of new people that have joined the club this year. And it's really awesome to see how it's grown and the things that the club does for the team as far as food and treats and, you know, a Thanksgiving meal on the bus for the Thanksgiving road trip and stuff like that. So if you're interested in the Booster Club, this season's information is on IcemanManiacs.com right now. We'll update that for next season at some point this summer, and then we'll start taking reservations and registration for next year.
He is Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans from IcemanManiacs.com. I'm the Dirty D. We just finished up a 9-minute final thoughts segment. So,
well, it's our final thoughts of the season. We got to get them all.
It's like
in
our post game
show.
Yeah,
exactly. It's our final thoughts.
So, after that, thank you all for listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 WYIR Music Bomb.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.